Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, March 30th. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Station KBUT in Crested Butte, here's a story about a graduate student and a fifth-generation ranching family in Gunnison County working together to enrich biodiversity and diversity.
Jake Korkamp is a 27-year-old graduate student in the Masters of Environmental Management program at Western State Colorado University in Gunnison. He needed a project for his degree, but he didn't want to do just anything.
I always knew from the beginning that I wanted to address a community need. What question can I help answer? What can I work to actually accomplish that somebody in the community actually needs or wants to address?
His advisor connected him with Bruce Allen, the owner and operator of the Allen Cattle Company.
I'm fifth generation on the Allen Ranch. We're in our 131st year. We operate over a 35-mile span, about 700 mother cows, and their accompanying yearlings, as well as bulls and horses.
While their titles and occupations differ greatly, Jake and Bruce found themselves working towards the common goal of putting carbon back into the ground so that plant life could flourish.
In the spring, we feed hay on one of our sagebrush pastures that we'd purchased 15 years ago, and it had been grazed in a season-long pattern, which had degraded the productivity.
The ranch began bringing hay from lower meadows up into the sagebrush in order to replenish the carbon that years of heavy grazing had robbed from the pasture. And that's because carbon has a number of benefits to plant life.
For every unit of carbon in the soil, it can hold 8 units of water. So if you double the amount of carbon in your soil, you've increased your water holding capacity by 8 times. It facilitates nutrient cycling. It encourages microbiomes. So you have a lot of microbes, bacteria, and bugs and stuff living under there. And all of this stuff it's a carbon economy.
And in order to deliver a stimulus to that economy, one must start from the ground up.
Rangeland systems are dominated by shrubs. So you don't have like these giant trees. You know, in a forest, you're going to be holding most of your carbon sequestered in the actual biomass of the trees, so like the trunks and the roots. But in a rangeland system that's dominated by shrubs, you're holding most of your carbon underground. Everything basically revolves around healthy soils.
After 15 years of this practice, ranchers at the Allen Cattle Company could see an improvement in both the plant density and the diversity of the sagebrush pasture.
But I don't have any data as far as what is happening in the deep carbon profile, which is carbon that will stay in the ground even during drought years.
Bruce gave Jake his question that needed answering, and Jake gave Bruce his data. It could almost be the setup for a joke. A cattle rancher and an ecologist walk into a bar. But to Bruce and Jake, it's a match made in Colorado.
EPA statistics is that agriculture emits 9% of the U.S.'s emissions, and I think that places a responsibility on agricultural producers to be aware of those impacts in their management decisions.
I think the main thing to understand here is that trapping carbon underground, taking it out of the atmosphere and trapping it underground, is a byproduct of actually making the system more productive, right? So climate change abatement is kind of a co-benefit of just having a more productive system.
Rather than seeing cattle as an issue, I would posit that under certain management techniques, we can actually use grazing for a tool to improve abating climate change. And the primary driver in that is getting carbon sequestered into the soil.
For KBUT News, I'm Christopher Biddle.
The Paonia Town Council held its regular meeting on Tuesday night at Paonia Town Hall. There were 14 total items of old and new business on the agenda, and more than 3 hours were not enough to complete the meeting. Around 10 o'clock, Town Administrator Ken Knight passed a note to Mayor Charles Stewart suggesting the meeting be concluded without getting through the entire agenda. The mayor and trustees agreed and brought the contentious affair to a close. At issue was a proposed resolution 2017-06, which would establish standards of conduct for trustees. The three-page document attempts to standardize rules of conduct and behavior for the trustees when dealing with staff and fellow board members. Trustee Bill Baer was absent from the meeting. Trustees David Bradford, Chelsea Bookout, and Karen Buttinger at first were ready to move forward and vote on the resolution. But after extensive debate that frequently strayed from the topic at hand, trustees Bill Bruner and Suzanne Watson convinced the board to hold a work session before the next regular meeting to fully discuss the matter. That meeting will be on April 11th at Paonia Town Hall at 7 p.m. The work session to discuss the standards of conduct will be at 6 p.m. that night. In other agenda items, Neil Ferguson was officially appointed as Chief of Police in Paonia. Ferguson led the Paonia Police Department as sergeant since the resignation of former police chief Scott Leon in 2014. The appointment as chief is a step up in rank for Ferguson, but not in pay, as he agreed not to take a salary increase along with the promotion. Ferguson also introduced the trustees to Paonia's newest police officer, Stuart Burge. The Paonia Police Force now numbers four, with Ferguson, Burge, Patrick Hinyard, and Taffney Patterson. In other matters, the board issued an RFP and officially began the process of looking for a new town attorney. And finally, the board agreed on language regarding a change to the speed limits around town. The board announced its intention to set the speed limit in Paonia at 25 miles per hour everywhere in town except for school zones and any other area deemed necessary for public safety. The change will be posted publicly and will be open for public comment in the next regular meetings of the board. Implementation of the new speed limit is hoped to take effect July 1st. And finally today, a report released Wednesday by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation ranked the counties of Colorado according to overall health and quality of life. The report ranks counties based on health outcomes, how long and well people live, and also based on health factors, such as a county's air quality, diet, tobacco use, and access to health care. The biggest weight in the health factor rankings are given to social and economic measures like education, employment, and income. According to the report, Douglas County is the healthiest county in the state of Colorado. In the KVNF listening area, San Miguel was ranked the 7th healthiest county in the state. Gunnison is 19th, Mesa is 25th, Ouray is 28th, and Montrose County is the 39th healthiest county. 58 of Colorado's 64 counties were ranked in the report. Delta came in at 45th, and Dolores is 46th. Hinsdale County was not ranked. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.